Lock and Load. This is Steve Dace. The Steve Dace Show.
And greetings, happy Wednesday, live and on demand here on The Blaze. I'm Steve Dace. Todd Erzin, Aaron McIntyre are here with me as well. Throwback Jersey Week continues. I'm rocking the Hank Greenberg Old English D throwback from back in the day. Say that again.
It's strong, very strong.
Thank you. Of course, he is one of the great sluggers of the World War II era. Way back in the day. 888-900-3393 is the number. That's 888-900-3393. Steve at stevedace.com is how you can email the program. That's DEACE. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Steve Dace Show. Our weekly prophet of woe and lamentation, Daniel Horowitz, will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. We've also got some buy, sell, or hold coming your way, so who knows which topics we will be tackling. When we turn the conversation over to Aaron, who will then turn the conversation over to the rest of you. But before we get to all of that, speaking of Aaron, let's find out from him what happened while we were away.
What happened while we were away, brought to you by a North Korea update.
I just received a beautiful letter from Kim Jong-un. I can't show you the letter, obviously, but it was a very personal, very warm, very nice letter. I appreciate it. And I'll say it again. I think that North Korea has tremendous potential, and he'll be there. I think that North Korea, under his leadership...
In other news, acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAllen provided an update to Congress yesterday about the state of the southern border.
It's been over 18 months since the administration asked for the legislative fixes that would have prevented the current crisis, and 40 days since we asked for the emergency funding necessary to manage it. In the last 40 days, 60,000 children have entered into DHS custody, both unaccompanied and as part of family units. Last month, as you noted, Mr. Chairman, we encountered a modern record of 144,000 border crossers, a record day of over 5,800 border crossings in a single 24-hour period, and the largest single group ever apprehended at our border, 1,036 individuals.
Moving on, an update on the campaign trail. We'll start with Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who was asked about vetting judicial nominees by the Des Moines Register.
I think there's some issues that have such moral clarity that we have as a society decided that the other side is not acceptable. Imagine saying that it's okay to appoint a judge who's racist or anti-Semitic or homophobic. But our country and our Constitution has always demanded that we have a separation of church and state. And all these efforts by President Trump and other ultra-radical conservative judges and justices to impose their faith on Americans is contrary to our Constitution, and that's what this is. And so I believe that for all of these issues, they are not issues that there is a fair other side. There is no moral equivalency when you come to racism. And I do not believe there's a moral equivalency when it comes to changing laws that deny women reproductive freedom.
Yes, being pro-life is the same as being racist. That's going to play really well in places like Iowa. Moving on, Joe Biden yesterday made a big promise to a group of Iowa voters.
I promise you, if I'm elected president, you're going to see the single most important thing that changes America is we're going to cure cancer.
Joe Biden is going to cure cancer. I've seen into the future, and this is what it looks like.
I came here today because I promised you tuition, and tuition is very valuable. But you know what's invaluable? Is intuition. I am so proud of all of you. Derek and LaFerve and Ben and Ayana and Michaela and Nikki and Jason and I'm sorry, spacing your name.
I'm Zion. I'm Michaela's younger brother.
Well, Zion, I am not going to be paying for your tuition. Which brings me to my main point, and that is that I will not be able to pay for anybody's tuition.
Biden also told the group,
look, I believe that the president is literally an existential threat to America.
A new Quinnipiac poll shows that Joe Biden has an 11-point lead over Bernie Sanders, with Elizabeth Warren behind at 15%. And now a reminder about polls on a couple of different fronts. Here's what the top candidates looked like in the Republican race back in June of 2015. Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, Marco Rubio, Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Rand Paul, and Rick Perry. You'll note that Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, the last two candidates of consequence standing in that primary cycle, are nowhere to be found in the top seven. That same Quinnipiac poll I mentioned just a little bit ago shows Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, and Pete Buttigieg beating Trump head-to-head if the election were today. Well, let's take a ride through history, shall we? All of what I'm about to share with you is according to Gallup polling data. In June of 1983, polls had Walter Mondale thrashing Ronald Reagan. In June of 1991, H.W. Bush was thrashing a to-be-determined Democrat. In June of 95, Bob Dole was beating Bill Clinton. And in June of 2011, a Republican to-be-determined was beating Barack Obama. But according to Bill Maher, none of what I told you in the last 2 minutes really matters because Trump is a fascist.
That if he loses Trump, he won't go. I've been saying that since before he got elected, that if he loses the second time, and if he loses the coming election, he will, and Michael Cohen said that, Nancy Pelosi echoed said that, a lot of people now, and I think that is what we have to worry about, because a lot of people say, well, yes, it can happen here, meaning fascism, meaning something other than what we was democracy. Now, I think we're already there.
An update to a story I brought you yesterday. According to James O'Keefe of Project Veritas, Twitter has suspended their account after their investigative journalism into Pinterest censoring Christian-themed content, saying their tweets regarding the matter violated their terms of service. And finally, the former host of The Daily Show, Jon Stewart, spoke in front of Congress yesterday on behalf of numerous first responders involved with 9/11. Regardless of what you think of Jon Stewart's politics, it is completely irrelevant to what he did yesterday.
As I sit here today, I can't help but think what an incredible metaphor this room is for the entire process that getting health care and benefits for 9/11 first responders has come to. Behind me, a filled room of 9/11 first responders, and in front of me, a nearly empty Congress. Sick and dying, they brought themselves down here to speak to no one. It's shameful. It's an embarrassment to the country, and it is a stain on this institution. And you should be ashamed of yourselves. For those that aren't here, but you won't be, because accountability doesn't appear to be something that occurs in this chamber.
And that's what happened while we were away.
So we're all pretty much Jon Stewart right now.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of us. All of us. Aaron's montage brought to you by our friends at realestateagentsitrust.com. And by the way, the symmetry of that montage, do not let it be lost on you. It began with a clip of one of our chief border agents saying, here's what we requested years ago, weeks ago, days ago. You never gave us. And so here are the results of what is happening. There's literally an invasion at our border, right? And he's saying it to who? Congress. And it ends Aaron's montage with another reference to a dead body, not putting forth its and not handling its most basic business. Folks, we are at a position right now where the enemy media, the New York Times, CNN, are saying something must be done about the border. All right. Jon Stewart and I agree. First responders, people who sign up to risk their lives for the rest of us, shouldn't have to go wanting for basic needs like healthcare, given the amount of largesse we have at our disposal. I mean, this to me is just a failure of a political class that simply just cannot be bothered. While on one hand, they decide that shaking down their corporatist overlords like the whores they are in the Republican Party is really all they're there for. And then on the other hand, appealing to the fringe faculty members at Cal Berkeley, the Ivy League, Wisconsin, schools of that nature, are why the other party's there. That is to, book speaking engagements for leftist causes. And so here we are. Props to both of those men for calling them on their horse pucky yesterday. Now, if you have ever worked in the real estate market before, tried to buy or sell a home, that can almost be as equally a frustrating experience because you're going to run into a lot of people who talk a good game, but then don't deliver the results when necessary. And that's why Glenn Beck and his associates started this company several years ago called Real Estate Agents I Trust, hoping to find agents that were vetted and worthy of having you in our audience as a client. Agents that check the three main boxes. A, they've got a long track record or a proven track record of success in the market. B, they understand that data matters, but you got to go beyond algorithms and look at details and outliers in any market as well. And then C, people that are personable, responsible. I mean, if you don't have a rapport with this person, it's such a personal process, a relational process to go through. You and your agent really have got to be on the same team and see things similarly and have a rapport. Otherwise, the likelihood this is going to turn out to work isn't high. So if you want an agent that checks all three of those boxes, you want to go to realestateagentsitrust.com right now. Just go to realestateagentsitrust.com. So let's start going through the montage here. And Aaron's slurp date on North Korea. I know those of you that are, you know, Cheeto Jesus saves, or I need to believe the guy I voted for tiptoes to the raindrops. Just can't even with this. So I'm going to let Aaron's kvetching emotion that he displayed in the montage speak for me. And let me try to address this with a little bit more restraint and reason to see if you can look beyond your own partisan idol here and understand why I'm so strongly against this. Number one, show me an example in history where this approach has ever worked with despots. Name one. I'll give you 6,000 years of recorded human history versus the field. Go. Well, wait. I'm getting text messages. Actually, somebody's texting me right now. Let me see what's going on. Make sure everything's okay. Did you guys Google one? Find one? You got one? Nothing?
Nothing.
Like, I think we had Khrushchev, like, come to Iowa, didn't he? Didn't he visit Disneyland when it first opened and or something like that? Yeah, then he went to the UN and banged a shoe on the podium and said, "We will bury you." It's a small world after all. Indeed, it is. And the hammer and sickle will make it much smaller. This never works. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work on the schoolyard bully. It doesn't work on the despots. It doesn't work on tyrannical regimes. It just doesn't work. You know what works? Well, I'd meet with the Soviet premiers, but they all keep dying on me, so I don't have the time. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Actually, we're going to build a technology that allows us to come over the top rope on your asses. That works. Now, how many times has history shown doing that to a bully? How many times has history shown that works? What's the record of that versus slurping your manlies? What's the history show, the record show? What works better, typically, do you think?
Just recent history that you laid out shows that it's like total scoreboard.
Here's the other issue I have with this, and it hasn't worked yet. We've gotten literally nothing off of this. I mean, last week, this guy, the bowl haircut butcher over there in Pyongyang, was executing the folks who put together the glorious summit with Trump. They were getting executed, like disemboweled, drowned, whatever they do over there. All right? I mean, so here's the other problem I have with this. I don't like it and haven't liked it my entire life when Democrats genuflected to the Soviets when we were trying to stand up to them. When Ted Kennedy and John Kerry and his ilk met with Daniel Ortega and the communists in Nicaragua when we were trying to stand up to their incursion into our own hemisphere in Latin America. Did we like that back in the day?
No.
No. And were we right not to like that?
Right.
We were. Because what country is this?
This is America.
America. Well, and what country was it then?
Yeah, America. Okay?
And what were they? Commie Reds who needed to be defeated, right? Right. Do we like it when Dianne Feinstein and John Kerry meets with the Iranians? Do we like that?
We do not.
We don't. Why? What country is this?
This is America.
What country are they?
Not Iran. America.
Iran was the one I was referencing, but I get what you're saying. Which country is better?
Ours.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where would you rather live? Here. Where would everyone in Iran, if given the chance to if they're not directly on the payroll of the Ayatollahs, where would they rather live? Here?
Right here.
Or there? They'd rather live here, right? I'm very uncomfortable to opposed to saying worse things about our domestic political opponents in this country than we say about some of the absolute worst people and regimes in the world. I mean, on that exact same photo op that Aaron showed you of the latest North Korea slurping, I mean, we're calling Joe Biden crazy, terrible, every name in the book. If your domestic political opponents are that bad, that you are in favor of North Korea over North Korea or Joe Biden, 2020 election, who you got? Aaron, go.
Joe Biden.
North Korea, Kim Jong-un or Joe Biden, 2020 election. Todd, go.
I'll take a shot at curing cancer. Let's go with Joe Biden.
Yeah. Barack Obama or Ayatollah Khomeini? Aaron, you're up. Go.
Blind. Barack Obama.
Yeah. Was life better in the United States from 2008 to 2016 or in Tehran? What do you think, Todd? Go.
There were beer summits, so I'm going with Obama.
Yeah. If indeed Joe Biden were to become president and is everything we suspect he is and would try to do everything he suspected to do, would life here over the next 4 years be better than they are in Pyongyang? Todd, go.
Yes.
Yeah. Aaron, what do you think?
Is there college football?
Yes.
Yes.
Aaron, tree bark in Pyongyang or college football with rainbow jihad ads? What do you think?
College football.
Really? You don't think the tree bark in Pyongyang might taste better? What do you think, Todd? Go.
I don't like getting disemboweled.
How freaking ridiculous is this? Here's the thing. We're having a real earnest civil war here. But when the people that are supposed to be our champions clown themselves, Donald Trump is an existential threat to America. You know who's an existential threat to America? Pyongyang! Islam! Those would be existential threats. Joe Biden's a moron, idiot, worst person of all time. Now let me tell you about the beautiful letter I got from the butcher of bull haircuts over there in Pyongyang. Sometimes I come in here and I ask myself, is this a country worth saving? Why try? Why not just simply just do what so many others have done? Get the clicks and cash the check. That montage isn't a serious debate. I'm going to cure cancer. It reminds me of when John McCain back in 08 used to claim, I'm going to get bin Laden. I know how to get him. Well, tell us! Why leave him alive until January of 2009? And by the way, what if you don't win?
And he didn't.
And he didn't. If you know how to get Osama bin Laden, by all means, Senator, Pentagon's right down the street. It's a stone's throw away.
We'll parachute you in.
No
in,
doubt.
Out.
You can parachute into the Pentagon with your plan to get bin Laden a hell of a lot faster than you met with the Syrian freedom fighters when you parachuted into Damascus. I'm going to cure cancer? The election is, I think, in 514 days. How many people are going to die of cancer between now and then? Not to mention, there's Inauguration Day, which won't take place for nearly 2 full months after the election. So let's add another 60 days. So let's say about 570 days at the earliest that Joe Biden could be the president of the United States. How many people are going to die of cancer between now and then, do you think?
Way too many.
Yeah, so should we not do something then? And seriously, if you are a member of my state and you cheered that, here's your sign. I know that's a joke from 1996, but that was probably the last time you also used your damn brain! I'm honestly, what are we doing? Hey, U.S., you know what? Todd, U.S. women's soccer team, 13-0 over Thailand. That's how desperate I am. Soccer, Todd, go. You're up. I'm out. 5,000.
Yeah, I wish.
5,000, G, I'm out.
I wish I could inspire, but we didn't represent so well in America on that front either. Sorry, world. Little too much there.
Aaron, tell me about the end table project you're working on right now. What do you got?
Could we talk about the Hall of Fame game instead?
Yeah, how many more days until the NFL Hall of Fame game?
We are now down to, I think, 82. No, no. We're less than that. We're down to like 53, I think, because it's August 1st. So we're even below that. We could be below that. But yeah, I think it's Denver Broncos versus, the Atlanta Falcons, maybe?
I would rather watch Joe Biden get gender reassignment surgery with no filter during every commercial break of the Super Bowl and every sporting event that I would consume over the next 4 years than live in damn Pyongyang. Anybody else? If you had a choice, what do you think?
I think, Yeah.
Think. Yeah. I would undergo gender reassignment surgeries, reversals, and let you do it to me again for 4 years rather than live in Tehran. Todd, what do you think?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. What are we doing? What is this? We have 60,000 children that have come illegally over this border as unaccompanied minors, many of them as false flags for human trafficking operations. And we cannot be bothered so that we can have candidates who are both pushing 80 years old. And one of them can say, I cure cancer. And the other guy runs on, my opponent is worse than North Korea. Please, please tell me you all are smarter than this. This country needs a better class of civil war. We suck at civil war now too. Like, when I think civil war, I'm thinking like great existential causes, ending man's inhumanity to man. My eyes have seen the coming of the armies of the Lord. Fire it up, man. No, here's what we're going to get. We're going to get, when I'm done groping you, I will cure cancer. And North Korea is better than when Democrats win. Why are we trying? Why did I show up for work today? Does anybody know? Hell, you know what? Let the microphone follow. What are we doing? Why attempt any level of professionalism at all? What are we doing?
We're doing that. Right there, that book.
Dumb?
Lord Nefarious. We're just... If nothing else, we are here to point out that book... I'm saying we're living in the time of the prophets. I've said it many, many times before. And that book is an extended summation of everything we're talking about right now. We talk about the Joker and Batman as well. The Joker arises in just this sort of environment where he can play us like the stupid puppets we are. And that's what's happening. We are living in Gotham in that movie, The Dark Knight, but there's no Batman. There's no Batman. There's just the Joker and the idiots.
Aaron, give me the hope the next generation represents.
Tell us you're Batman. Steve and I are old, and we can't jump.
Bane
to the
has
gym
broken our backs.
Yes.
Every single day at my apartment complex, I see dudes out there sunbathing.
So, not with chicks.
So no Batman.
Nope.
Not with chicks.
Nope.
I've got an hour and a half more of airtime to fill here.
You got Daniel.
Hand me the Joel Osteen board game at this point. I mean, I just.
It's always darkest before the dawn, Steve.
We're arguing over, you can have your rainbow flag at your desk at the embassy, but you can't fly it on the flagpole.
Here's why we're here. Jack the Baker in Colorado. We can't let him go down alone. The people like him. And that's why we're here. Because Jack, I mean, we've talked about that before. You know, why is the cake baker in Colorado, the cake baker, why is he the Leonidas of our times? Why is this the movie?
Because they had to work that far down our food chain to find a worthy adversary. Yeah. That's how far they had to go to get someone that would actually not just call him names on Twitter,
right,
but hit him back. That's how far down the food chain they had to go.
It's pathetic. I mean, this is your column last week about transgenderism. It's not really about we don't know what women are. It's we have no idea what men are. Men, mm-hmm. the lack of them, allowed this all to happen. Jack, look at Jack. Jack looks like me in 20 years. You know, he's public enemy number one, and it's showing you what Steve has been saying for years, regardless of the show, about the slippery slope. They're coming. They won't stop. They never take them. So this is why our use of the term civil war is not for effect. It's where we are. They are going to try to eliminate him until they are eliminated on some level, what that means. That is the crux of the matter. We are here to stand a post with Jack Phillips over my dead body. It's us or them.
I got a beautiful letter from Vladimir Lenin. I can't share it with you. Just a beautiful note. Got a beautiful note from Berlin this morning. Boy, that guy Adolf really knows how to turn a phrase. Got a beautiful letter from Tehran today. Hostages have been there for 444 days, but they're telling me any day now, I really think that they're going to let them go. And that Iranian republic, I think, really has a huge economic potential. I would prefer the Democrats don't. We don't have to find out how far they would actually push things with the power of the White House after the next election. But again, I'm just telling you, if you want to win back those suburban voters that are going to be the difference, and whether that happens or not, you have a harder time making the case that the Democrats winning threatens their way of life when you are honoring arguably the worst. There's 7 billion plus people on planet Earth, and that guy in Pyongyang is arguably the freaking worst of them all. It undermines your entire argument. It is just beyond cartoonish and foolish. It's beneath the dignity of this office in any era, at any time. We deserve and should demand better. In America, it is estimated millions of people right now are in pain, and not just because they watched that damn montage, but because of inflammation, which causes chronic pain. Now, our friends at Relief Factor cannot do anything to raise the stakes of the existential conflict before us that we apparently aren't going to fight, because we're going to debate idiocracy instead. But they can do something about the inflammation in your body. And that's what Relief Factor was created to do something about. So many Americans just think, I can't do anything about this. I got to live with this forever. Well, here's the two most important things to know about Relief Factor. Physician created, number one, but it's 100% drug-free, number two. So do the math there. Professionals who can prescribe drugs realized all we're doing is treating symptoms here. We want to see real relief happen, real healing happen. We want to unleash the power your creator, Mother Nature, gave your body to push back against inflammation, unleash those healing instincts in the body. And that's what those four key natural ingredients at Relief Factor do to help your body win the fight against inflammation, which is causing that chronic pain. If you want to give this a chance, it's a 3-week quick start, only a dollar a day for $20. That's all that it costs, a dollar a day. All right, what do you got to lose? For a dollar a day, why not give it a shot? Maybe only thing you have to lose is hopefully finally the pain. Just go to the website, relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. I will get on board seeing what the left wants to do to my way of life. I'd be willing to get on board with all kinds of problematic people to do something about it. I can't get on board with a clown show, though, that is no threat to it. Does that make sense?
It does.
So show me the problematic people are serious about this. I'll run to the front lines with you. But I have no interest in Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. I'm not doing that. I got better things to do than that. Daniel Horowitz will join us next. If you're thinking of replacing your carpets, which is not an inexpensive proposition, because, you know, when, sometimes they don't tell you when you're doing that price by the square footage, it doesn't include the padding. Just make sure that's included in the deal. Then there's the labor cost, unless you plan on laying that carpet yourself, right? That can be an expensive transaction. So before you go down that road, especially if you're doing it for pet stains, which is one of the common reasons people have to change their carpets nowadays, give Genesis 950 a try. It's an amazing pet and stain remover. It breaks down the bonds of stains and odors until they're gone for good, all the way down into the padding of your current carpet. Because that's really, the carpet up top will look fine, but that's really where those things dig in and they get stingy on you. And plus, it's clean energy here in that it's antibacterial. So this is totally safe for your small kids, your pets, et cetera. And you know what? You can use this all over the house. I mean, you can use it on the nice stuff, the granite and the quartz in the kitchen and the bathrooms. You can use it on the oil stains, the grease stains on the floor in the garage. But where it really shines is with carpeting. It works in your carpet machine, any which way you want to use it. So again, before you make the major purchase with new carpeting, give Genesis 950 a try. And if you use promo code Blaze when you go to the website, they'll give you a discount, throw a spray bottle in for you as well. All right. Genesis950.com, promo code Blaze for the discount. Genesis950.com. That's the website, Genesis950.com. Just got a note from a Matthew Shattuck, who says this is already, based on the opening segment of the show, your best show of the year. Matthew, I appreciate those kind words, but I think I speak for everyone who knows me well when I say, don't encourage me like that. There are some aspects of my behavior that should probably not be incentivized. All right? And that would be one of them. Let's go to our weekly prophet of woe and lamentation. Daniel Horowitz is here to take us inside politics. Good to see you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Steve, but I come with much trepidation. I don't want to make this your worst show.
Oh, given what we did in the previous segment and what people are telling me they think makes it the best show, you might be worthy of the encore performance here. So let's start with this deal with Mexico. All right. And, you know, I live close to the state of Missouri here in Iowa, so you got to show me. So I'm willing to see if Trump has cracked the code on how Mexico can actually be a country for a change. All right. But I need to see what the border crossing numbers and the like look like for the next 30 to 60 days to get an idea whether or not this is serious. Because what it seems to me politically is it's a good political maneuver to take where he clearly can't get his own party to move in Congress. He couldn't do that when they had the majority, because we've known since before he took office they don't want to secure the border because they're whores for corporatists that want all the cheap labor, right? So he can't get Congress to move, and now the Democrats want all the people across the border too, just for different reasons. So you also can't look like you did nothing. You can't have people going on, you know, Patreon pages and raising more money and building more of the wall than you on their own than you can build yourself after promising a wall for 4 years. That's a bad look. Not to mention, we're way past Mexico isn't paying for it after all. So what do? You put it on Mexico, put the pressure on them. They rhetorically respond. How much credibility do you think this deal has?
Well, what did they say about Mexicans doing the job Americans won't do? I mean, I guess that's just another example. No, I mean, that's the thing. We can't secure a border,
now that,
but Mexico will do it.
That, folks. That's a singer.
Ever.
That's one of the greatest lines I have heard in my career, in fact.
Oh, man.
All right, who says prophets of woe and lamentation don't have a sense of humor? Anyway, continue. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you got to laugh at it. It's like, hey, buddy, we can't secure a border, but Mexicans, could you do it for us? Okay, couple things here.
Mexico, can you spare a border? Yes, right?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you and I both, you know, opposed the establishment talking point against Trump and the tariffs. We viewed that his attitude was correct with it. It's a matter of what you're trying to leverage them to do, number one. And number two, what you are concurrently not doing yourself that you can and should be doing. At a baseline, I believe this is the third or fourth time Trump has done this. Notice every time it gets like really bad, he has to say, all right, well, I'm signing the budget bill, but we're going to announce another emergency that's going to build 3.4 centimeters of wall and we'll take care of the problem. Well, it didn't work. there was another round, if you remember, of Mexican warnings that he was going to shut down the border, and then they didn't do anything. So this happens all the time. You're right in your intuition that this is aimed at one audience, the conservative base, the people at Fox that might start to come to my camp of actually focusing on this rather than Mueller, and he's got to placate them. And then there's a degree of legitimacy of what they can and can't do. So let's unpack this. There's two things going on here. There's the logistics of Mexico securing the border. There's really three things. There's us not securing ours. And then there's a legal agreement on a third-party asylum deal. To me, the logistics are nonsense. They cannot secure their border. The cartels control it. So 6,000 National Guard troops at the Guatemalan border might sound a lot like a lot, but if you understand the jungles there, it's nothing. They can't do it. These guys are not trained soldiers. You look at pictures of them. It's not going to happen. What about the northern border? So on the one hand, this is the first time you do have Mexican boats that are in the Rio Grande River. They are making some arrests. They just arrested two members of this Pueblo Sin Fronteras group, which is based in America, by the way, funneling in the caravans. They have bank accounts related to the Zetas and Gulf cartels, by the way. That's who's organizing this. But out of hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants going over a million, there's a lot of photo ops to show enforcement actions and still not really do anything. My concern is they might have the ability to slightly slow numbers for a couple of weeks, but in the long run, it's clearly not going to work. The border agents I speak to say that fundamentally it hasn't changed the last few days, even with the Mexican boats there. So then we're left with the other thing, which is Trump says there's a parallel agreement to return asylum seekers back to Mexico. So Mexico denies that. So show it to me. I mean, it's always, hey, I'll give you a burger today and pay for it tomorrow. I'm just that would mean something because they could sign a piece of paper even if they don't control their country, and then we're done with this. But again, I'll tell you, only 10% are expressing asylum. So why aren't we returning the rest of them who aren't? And this leads me to my final point, which is if the Trump administration is going to rhetorically repeal our immigration laws, which is what they're doing. They are saying that no matter how bad it gets, no matter the diseases, no matter how the cartels use this strategically to invade us with spycraft drones monitoring our assets and our military bases so they can get their stuff in, anyone who comes in with a kid, there's nothing we can do. But Mexico, for a couple weeks, we're going to rely on unsustained targeted operations. We're done as a nation. That's my bigger point. I mean, we have the law tell us in 8 U.S.C. 1222 and 1182A1 that anyone who comes here, they must be incubated for a period of time that you could rule out diseases. We have people coming from Congo. I just put out the numbers. 307 in 1 week from the Democratic Republic of Congo. They have the worst Ebola outbreak. They have 87,000 cases of measles. I now have McAleenan on record and written testimony, the top dog at DHS. He says we do not screen them for contagious diseases. So they dance around that. Well, he didn't dance around it. They do not screen them. We knew that anyway. And they were released into San Antonio, Chip Roy's district. If you can't stand up and say we're not letting that in when the law requires it, I don't want to hear about Mexico doing the job we won't do.
So two questions as a follow-up to everything you just said. Number one, how is it that we are at the place that the New York Times and CNN, who want to label Ben Shapiro a white supremacist and all of us racists, and all of us, and everybody doesn't think everything their op-ed page reports is a conspiracy theorist, and CNN has become arguably the most pitiful network in the history of the United States of America in recent years. And yet they are entities that agree with people like us. Something has to be done about what's going on with the border. How did we get to a point that it is so desperate that two parallel opposites that are engaged in a cold civil war right now in this country are clamoring for something to be done. But neither one of the political parties that represents either one of those entities seemingly cannot be bothered by any of their clamoring. What does that tell us? Why is that the case?
So one of the things you see from Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn is they don't give a damn about our border, about the invasion. They only care about Trump's reaction to it. So the only time they'll perk up is when Trump says, hey, I shut down the ports. Oh, you can't do it. Cornyn jumps on that. Oh, it'll lose the commerce. When he appoints Ken Cuccinelli to position, oh, you can't do that. When he threatens tariffs, you can't do that. They will not – I mean, their passion. You saw the Politico expose on McConnell mm-hmm. and his pork projects in Owensboro, Kentucky. That's what he cares about. So Democrats turn our country into a carcass, and then the Republicans come, and rather than trying to prevent future carcasses, they feast on the carcass and take selfies in front of it. That's their job. They just don't care. So this is the problem. Trump has good intuition, but then he flounders. But there's nobody to speak to his better elements. The conservative media is distracted. The Republicans are just – they just don't give a darn.
Hold up. Mark Meadows is tweeting about Lisa Page and Peter Strzok.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry. I hated to do that to you. I'm sorry.
No. You can't do that. I mean, these were friends of mine. I mean
– I just needed somebody to be as miserable as I am right now.
So let me tell you this. I spoke with a guy named Dan McLaughlin, not to be mixed up with the pollster. He's the mayor of a city in Texas, and I'm forgetting what the city was. It was near Del Rio, but 50 miles from the border, and he's getting slammed with all sorts of problems. His ranchers, they have these criminals coming on, attacking them and everything. And he said, I've written to Cruz. I've written to Cornyn. I've written to Bill Hurd, who's a Republican rhino congressman. I've written to Greg Abbott. I've written to Ken Paxton. None of them are talking about it. I mean, Texas is being invaded.
Why? Our audience needs to know why. Why is this the case? Why?
I mean, Cruz was given a speech about African Americans and Nassau. I don't know what the two have to do with each other today. Something about that. I'm sure it has something to do with it. I cannot figure it out. I mean, Cruz hasn't said anything bad on it, but he just – I mean, there are more people coming in Texas than in the history of our country. And qualitatively, one of the things I have heard this – and I will tell you, I've heard it from probably a dozen sources, ranchers, county officials, mayors, sheriffs in New Mexico, Arizona, and Texas, that they've dealt with illegal immigration, as you can imagine, for several generations for now. And they said the guys coming in were actually pretty congenial over the years, and they were polite. You know, they were seeking work and whatever. So the ones coming in now, they're like, we're scared of them.
Mm-hmm.
They are really belligerent. The ones that come across the ranches, they just don't care. I mean, you literally have – I broke down the numbers. 20,000 people came in Texas the first week of June. I get the weekly numbers. That's an annualized pace of over 1 million in the state of Texas, not the other three states. The diseases, they're coming from Congo, Angola, Cameroon, Haiti, Cuba, Venezuela, by the way, now. They just don't care. They're coming from Bangladesh. Nothing matters.
Even though recent polls have this the number one issue concern for Republican voters across the country.
The number one issue among independents too.
Hmm.
Indies and Republicans. And it wasn't even close with independents either. It's only Democrats that it wasn't high up on. So that's an important data point. I've never experienced this in my career. It's almost like there's a switch that's been turned off in the world. There's no – I mean the stuff I'd be putting out would be going viral under Obama. And it just doesn't matter. And part of the problem is what we started out this discussion with is that every time we're about to get to the linchpin, Trump says enough stuff and tweets to diffuse the energy but not to actually solve the problem. And this is where the Republican Party is the perfect false flag operation. They jujitsu any energy we would have. I mean, if you would have this under the Democrats' watch, we would have a rebellion in this country.
No doubt. No doubt about it. So take our final 2 minutes. I sit you down in the West Wing right now. And the president says to you, give me your top three things that I can do. What would they be?
Okay, shut it off. Trump is, in his own words, saying that he will return them to Mexico. So meaning you will turn them back. Why not turn them back anyway whatever your agreement is. He needs to take the news about the Congolese and the Ebola outbreak and run with that. And he could easily cite the law. And I would cite it in a speech because it's very readable. It's not like a, you know, cumbersome text of a statute. It's like very clean. You shall hold them for a sufficient period of time to rule out any inadmissible diseases. He says, the law requires that of me. It has gone on long enough. Throw in all the stuff about the cartels. And the Supreme Court just upheld 1182F to shut it off. Anyone who comes will be turned back. We're going to launch a massive media campaign like as Obama did in 2014 in Central America. And you are done. You cannot come anymore. You will be turned back. We will not let you in. It is that simple. You will never get better messaging than that. There is no shortcut around that. There is nothing Mexico could do that will fundamentally alter this. But again, who is in Trump's ear that is telling him this?
Hmm. It's ironic. The guy is president of the United States today for two reasons. One, he got to run against Hillary, and two, this issue. I mean, this issue is what took him from novelty act carnival barker in the GOP presidential primary to a force of nature.
Steve,
and yet we're sitting here and feeling helpless on what was his signature issue.
Yeah, I know you're out of time. I don't mean to cut you off there. But on that point, June 2015, Trump announces his presidency. He says America became a dumping ground. Monthly apprehensions, 38,000. Now, 144,000.
That, wow.
Progress. Progress.
I mean, that's
incremental.
That's incredible, those numbers. They're absolutely incredible. Daniel, good to see you, my friend. Take care. God bless. All right, take care.
Take care.
If you struggle with bursts or lack thereof of energy throughout the day, you get past that lunch break and you got to finish out the rest of your day because your bosses aren't like, hey, you put in enough hours. You can kind of coast these last few hours of the workday. That's typically not the way it works, unless you're Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And you know, then you can make more money than 99.4% of the planet does, not even finish your first term and claim that you deserve a raise. You can do that. Unfortunately, most of us don't work for Congress. We actually work in the real world. We need a burst of energy to finish out the day. That's why we're buying so many of these energy drinks and everything else. You ever read the labels on some of those things? Can you pronounce how many of those words? See, that's where our friends at Brickhouse Nutrition came in. That's the team of top physicians over there. And they recognized, hey, the market needs something where we get energy from the same sources that that we, you know, are supposed to, not from a bunch of artificial chemicals. So if this is what you're after, this is clean energy, focused and improved mood for up to 10 hours with no jitters, no afternoon crash, no calories, and no sugar. It's called From Dawn to Dusk. You can try it right now on my name for 15% off of your first order. When you go to this website, all right, use promo code Steve. When you go to this website, BrickhouseSteve.com. And again, the name of the product, From Dawn to Dusk at BrickhouseSteve.com. Those numbers. I can't compute that. When Trump announced his candidacy in June of 2015, we were rightfully concerned about 38,000 illegal border crosses the month before. And here we sit, and it was 144,000 last month. I can't analyze that. I mean, I'm just...
If Joe Biden was serious, instead of talking about curing cancer, he would go to the right of Trump and he would say, this has been a total failure and I'll take care of this.
Which tells you that he's not what?
Serious.
He's not serious. We'll come back. Hour two is next. We'll play buy, sell, or hold. Who knows what awaits when we open Pandora's box, which topics we will be forced to address. That's coming up next year on The Blaze. Stay tuned. And we're back with hour two here live and on demand on The Blaze. 888-900-3393 is one way you can contact us. You can also let us know what you think about what we think via the stevedace.com inbox. Steve at stevedace.com is how you can email us. That's D-E-A-C-E. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Steve Dace Show. If you're listening today via the podcast, if you wouldn't mind leaving us a 5-star review on the podcast platform of your choice, we would be very grateful for that. Thousands of you have done this for us already. Grateful for all of you too. The more of you that continue to do this, the more likely we are to find more people just like you, and the more likely, therefore, we are to get to continue to do this. All right. So thank you very much to all of you. So this is something I've talked internally with Todd and Aaron about and a few others. I haven't really discussed it for obvious reasons that much on the show. But one of the things I never saw coming when I got this job is I have been signed up for every scam site you could imagine. I've been signed up for every hookup app. What was the place that had, you know, having an affair? Okay. How many times I can't tell you I have gotten, hey, confirm this is your email registrations, or this is, and I talked to somebody else who works in this industry at this level about this when it started happening several years ago. And they were like, that's just a cost of doing business around here. You know, when you rattle the right cages, when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelped is the one you hit. You know, I can't even tell you how many things I have listed as spam that I receive every single day. You know what though? A lot of that I've noticed has gone away in the last month or so since I started using ExpressVPN. Now, you may think no one wants your data. You may think no one can grab your passwords or your credit card details, but you would be wrong. Stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi, I cannot tell you how many times I've had to change all of my passwords, for example. I mean, how many times we've been hacked here, hacked there. You know, when you do what I do with the way that I do it, you get a bit of a target on your back. Okay. But right about now, all of us nowadays have a target on our back. And so when you leave your internet connection unencrypted, you might as well be writing your passwords and your credit card numbers on a huge billboard. That's why you want to also use ExpressVPN. It secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data. It hides your public IP addresses. It's got an easy-to-use app that runs seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, and tablet. It literally took me 5 minutes to hook up my ExpressVPN on all of my machines.
I keep getting emails from Bernie Sanders' campaign. Will this help alleviate that problem?
It might. If you can use ExpressVPN safely surf on public Wi-Fi, so that saves your data as well. And it stops you from being snooped on or having your personal data stolen. And for less than $7 a month, you can get the same exact ExpressVPN protection that I have. ExpressVPN, rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar, comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can protect your online activity today. Find out how you get those 3 months for free if you go to expressvpn.com/Steve. expressvpn.com/Steve. We ran out of time after talking with Daniel last hour, but I didn't have time to sit aside to get you guys' take on the conversation him and I had about this deal with Mexico, how likely it or unlikely it is to actually amount to anything. Daniel offered some. It's funny, many of you, when we bring up the president needs to do more here, or this isn't going to work, I always get emails. But what would you guys have no suggestions? How many times I always ask people for suggestions. All right. So what would you do differently? We did ask Daniel that. He gave, a 2-minute elevator pitch of what he thought within his power the president could absolutely reasonably do that would put a huge kibosh on much of this. But you guys' thoughts on that conversation before we turn the page.
I think one of the main things that I got out of this, and this is 25% tongue in cheek. Instead of doing a deal with Mexico where they send their quote-unquote troops, 6,000 of them, to the border with Guatemala, wouldn't we just be better off making a deal with the cartels saying, hey, instead of doing this human trafficking thing, we're going to pay you as much as you're making right now for you to not do this and to make sure nobody crosses the border? Because it seems right now the cartel is much more effective than the Mexican government and the Mexican military, and they're much more effective than our Border Patrol. Not for our Border Patrol's lack of trying, it's because they've got both hands, they're trying to do their job with both hands tied behind their back. Wouldn't we just be better off making a deal with the devil, basically, with the cartel, since they are the ones seemingly in control of our border? You know what? You guys are business people. You just want to make a ton of money. You're terrible people. But hey, we're gonna replace the cost of business if you stop doing this and actually secure our border. Wouldn't that be more effective than whatever it is that we're doing right now?
Tell me I'm wrong. How many times do you think, given the world of global high finance, Donald Trump has lived in longer than you've been alive, Aaron? How many times do you think he's gone into a negotiation without the person who ultimately is the yes or the no in the room? How many times do you think that is?
None. Yeah.
Would be the answer. None. He's not entertaining. I'm not negotiating with the person who doesn't have the power in the room. I want to talk to the person who really, or the persons who say yes or no, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who says yes or no in this equation?
The cartels.
The cartels are. So, I mean, yeah, if we're going to be, so your point is, what I hear you saying is, if we're going to cynically admit that there is that the president cannot move either of the major political parties to do their damn jobs, and so we have to get by on the kindness of strangers here, Blanche Dubois, then let's at least go to the strangers who actually call the shots. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yep.
Because we know the Mexican government can't do a damn thing. I mean, they can't even defend their own political candidates from getting assassinated on sidewalks every day that ends in Y. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Do you have any merit to you? What do you think, Todd?
Well, just about anything other than the status quo has merit. You mentioned Governor Abbott. You mentioned senators looking at their Twitter, what they seem to be talking about. Holding my breath waiting for Donald Trump to do something about this. I'm not going to do it. The boots on the ground down there. The governors. National Guard, it just needs to be, and this is where Shane and Joy is correct about taking control of what you can locally. Down there, people just simply doing everything they can within their power locally on that border to show the rest of us exactly what they're dealing with, why they are going about doing this. You had an example. What were the people that down in, it ended up in Oregon, but they started down in...
The Bundy people?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, listen, they took the law into their own hands, and up in Oregon, it seemed to be like, well, they were almost like for hire. How did they end up there after, you know, so many states away? But people actually backed them down when it happened on the border. And the promise that was more to come, and it will come. And the only recourse people have is to simply, Aaron, you said yesterday, this is the equivalent of what you said yesterday, people are going to have to be handcuffed. People down there locally are going to have to be shown taking the law back when those who simply won't and can't be bothered aren't going to do it. This is another reason why, though, where with our conversation with Shannon Joy about just giving up on the federal government, you have to prime them to remember who they are at times. It's not always going to work, but that's their job, and it should be their job, and they're not doing it. We have to fix that one way or the other, and I hope the National Guard down in the border states is warming up in the bullpen.
So let's just do this is a real-time exercise right now, based on what you just said, okay? We're going to look at the Twitter feeds of prominent Republicans in America and what's happened. What's a good time period? Is 24 hours good,
sure.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay? Is that fair?
Yeah, I might go to 48, but I think it's fair. It's more than fair, yeah.
All right, we'll do 48, okay? So let's start with the president. And the reason why we're going to look at prominent Republicans... because the polling is showing the number one issue concern amongst Republicans and independents. Why do those two groups matter? Because those are the people that you have to build your base to win an election off of, is those two groups, right? Number one issue group concern for both Republicans and independents right now in the country is immigration. It's this issue. It's the border, okay? And so this is your base. This is who you're going, this is who you need to mobilize and convince to vote for you. And I'm not gaming the system. I don't know what we're going to find. We might be pleasantly surprised. I don't know. I mean, literally in the last minute as you were talking, I went to the president's Twitter account. I don't know what's here. We're going to find out in real time. We'll go back 48 hours from now. Okay. The fake corrupt news media said they had a leak into polling done by my campaign. That's number one. And he goes on and on about that. The fake news media has never been more dishonest than it is today. Thank goodness we can fight back on social media. That's number two. Okay. Wow, just got word that on June 18th, Tuesday, in Orlando, has already had 74,000 requests for a 20,000-seat arena, so promoting a rally. Next tweet. Despite the phony witch hunt, 50% approval rating from Rasmussen. That's not credible. The fake corrupt news media said they had a leak into polling done by my campaign, which is a resetting of what he would tweet 4 hours later. Next tweet. Now we're 12 hours ago. Someone should call Obama up. The Obama administration spied on a rival presidential campaign. 15 hours ago. Beautiful afternoon in Iowa. 18 hours ago. Trump administration gives final approval for year-round E15 use. That's an ethanol thing here in Iowa. 19 hours ago. Today here in Iowa, we honor America's cherished heritage. 23 hours ago. On my way to Iowa, I just heard nearly 1,000 ag groups signed a letter urging Congress to approve something. This is now, we're now into June 11th. Why did Democrats run if they didn't want to do things? He's quoting Senator Rick Scott from Florida. Good day in the stock market. That's the next tweet. Here we go. Finally. If Mexico produces, which I think they will, biggest part of deal with the Mexico has not yet been revealed. Then he talks about China. Okay, so nothing there about the border other than the Mexico thing. Companies come to the U.S. to get companies that have left us for other lands to come back home. He starts talking about tariffs. Another tweet about tariffs. Now he's talking about the euro. Now he's referencing very low inflation. Those are his exact words. Finally, presidential harassment. That's a tweet. Riffing on John Dean, finally, literally 48 hours ago. Sad when you think about it, but Mexico right now is doing more for the U.S. at the border than the Democrats in Congress. Now, that's actually a very good talking point. The problem is it's not just true of Democrats in Congress. It's true of the entire Congress. Those are the president's tweets in the last 48 hours. Let's go to McConnell. Let's see what he has. The head of the august body.
Todd, are you having fun?
Known as the U.S. Senate. Let's see what he has.
So much joy.
All right, so this is the signature issue that got this man elected president. And in the last 48 hours, with an absolute crisis taking place, all he has said about it, what is his chief method of reaching the American people, is a talking point that he CC'd Fox and Friends on. All right, let's start with McConnell. First tweet an hour ago. Next week, the Senate Appropriations Committee will vote on badly needed funding for humanitarian and security missions on the border. We'll do what everyone knows what must be done. Next tweet, we've been waiting for 6 weeks for Democrats to get serious about the crisis on our southern border. Here's the problem with that. Did this crisis begin when the Democrats won the Congress?
No.
No. So when they had total control of Congress, what did they do the entire time?
Nothing.
Next tweet, when will Democrat colleagues get serious? He's talking again about the border. So here we have McConnell actually talking about the border more than Trump.
That's surprising to me.
But a man who has decades-long history of being for open borders. But it's all political provocation. It's all to provoke Democrats.
This is show vote Twitter.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, what did they do the entire time that they had control? And then you have to go back. Actually, I take those tweets were today. He tweeted once 48 hours ago, and it was also about quoting the New York Times about Congress give Trump his border money. So he's using the New York Times against Democrats. And then there's no tweets going back till June 7th. Let's do the head of the House Freedom Caucus. Those are the people that represent us, right?
Right.
Right.
Allegedly.
Right.
Right.
you know, audiences like those of you that are watching us right now or tuning in.
Okay? Right.
So let's look at Mark Meadows' Twitter. He's the head of, is he still head of the House Freedom Caucus? I believe he is.
I believe so.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Right now, Oversight Committee Republicans concerned about the citizenship question being added to the 2020 census. Next tweet. Two Democrat witnesses for today's Intel hearing haven't even read the Steele dossier. Okay. 23 hours ago, for goodness sake, the president was just forced to work directly with Mexico on border security because the left won't even agree to humanitarian aid. So 23 hours ago. This is the head of the House Freedom Caucus. His last tweet 48 hours ago, going on about Speaker Pelosi saying she wanted to see Trump in prison. And statement from my from the hearing on federal building design and construction policies.
It's important.
That's the vanguard?
Yes.
Of the conservative ranks.
Very important.
In the U.S. Congress. Let's go.
Any word about those construction radio? Is that U.S. steel or Chinese steel?
I think I speak for most of America when I wonder what's Lisa Page and Peter Strzok doing right now. Yeah. Let's go to the governor of Texas next. We'll do one more. Okay, this is the chief executive officer defending the state against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. We did this with his Twitter account, but maybe things have changed. I don't know. We're going to find out. Okay, he hasn't tweeted in 13 hours. And what he tweeted about was helping police officers protect our communities and families. Do you think the efforts to help police officers would be bolstered by more or less invasion of illegal aliens that are being harnessed across the border by criminal drug cartels? What do you think, guys, is the answer to that?
Probably
think drug cartels and human trafficking and legions on the border. Think those help cops or not, do you think? Makes their job easier. What do you think, Todd? In an age where we clap when Joe Biden says he's going to cure cancer, we need to ask such questions. Hours ago, Governor Abbott tweets, today I signed a law that cuts property taxes, pays teacher more. God bless Texas. And then he hasn't tweeted again since June 10th, and that was about lemonade stands. And I'm not kidding.
Oh, if you keep going, I think there's something else that's going to make you real happy.
I stopped there because I got to remember I was in the hospital for heart palpitations like 2 months ago. So I gotta chill. Okay, so I'm going to stop there. We said 48 hours. With him, I went back 72. What do you think, guys?
I already said there's no men. There's no men.
Aaron, your thoughts?
Shame on you. Yes. Texas raised the smoking age to 21. That's what I was referencing.
Here's a shot of the governor's desk, all the work that he got done.
Texas really did that?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
I don't have a relocation mistress right now. It might be Alabama.
You can have alcohol delivered to you in Texas.
Alabama might be my new relocation mistress right now.
Even that university.
Telling Q Culverhouse's kid to stick it where the sun don't shine?
Yep. How many days till college football?
Too many. Too many.
It's always the case, though. To be fair.
Yes, to be fair. That's the case whether the border is secure or not. Let's get to buy, sell, or hold. Maybe we'll have some more hope-filled topics. Buy, sell, or hold brought to you by our friends at WaxRx. Do you have itchy ears, ear pain, that plugged up feeling? If you answered yes to all or any of those questions, you could be like scores of Americans who will have to go to the doctor's office. That means the wait, the hassle, the copay, you know, do it on your day off too, right? Which would suck because that really cramps your style. What if you don't have to do that anymore? What if you just do DIY this thing in your own home? like the pros do. That's where WaxRx comes in. It uses a physician-developed technology that safely and effectively removes earwax buildup and then soothes the ear with that soothing pH condition formula, just like they do when you go to the doctor's office. But now you get it prescription-free as well. And you can try it risk-free too. I mean, we can't make this any simpler for you, all right? And they'll even throw in free shipping when you use offer code radio on their website when you go to check out, all right? Here's the website, usewaxrx.com. That's usewaxrx.com. Offer code radio at checkout for free shipping. usewaxrx.com. So this is buy, sell, or hold. Aaron, usually, with your help, he usually just relies on you guys to come up with these topics, throws at Todd and I a series of propositions. We will decide, Todd, if we are buying that or selling that. And then once per show, we're permitted a hold. But if it is for any reason other than this is just a beneath contempt proposition, it isn't worthy of dignifying, even with our mediocre intellects and a scintilla of brain power, then the dude code says you will be flogged, scorned, mercilessly mocked, and have to listen to more of Kirsten Gillibrand's pontificating if that's not enough to dissuade you.
Yep, buy, sell, or hold. And as always, if you have some ideas that you would like to submit, you can email me, aaron@stevedace.com, or find me on Twitter, @DaceProducer as well. Usually take those submissions on Tuesdays. We'll start, as we mentioned, college football. Jacob Hibbard says, for the third year in a row, the Pac-12 is left out of the college football playoff. Easy buy.
You want to go next?
I'll buy. I think that's a relatively safe buy for the purposes of what we're doing here. I don't know that. My lay of the land is nothing compared to what you've got. But in terms of remembering who was good, who wasn't good, I don't know that some great renaissance is about to come. I mean, unless USC, really closes a gap between what we've known about USC and what it has been these last couple of years. Now, I think the safe bet is that's solid.
I'm going to say I agree it's a safe bet. I'm working on my annual college football preview as we speak. It'll be done in a couple of weeks. I'm going to say it's a safe bet, but I don't think it's an easy buy. I think it's a safe bet. Here's why I don't think it's an easy buy. Because Oregon has been recruiting like a son of a gun the last couple of years. And then they also bring back virtually everybody from their team, including a guy who might be the number one overall pick in the next draft. I could foresee a scenario.
Who's that?
Justin Herbert. I could foresee a scenario where Justin Herbert gets picked over to Tua Tagovailoa. Now, I would not do it, okay? But if you look at what are the typical measurements and what it is that they look for in a quarterback. Now, that's not as ironclad as it used to be with guys like Baker Mayfield, right, and Kyler Murray. But, Justin Herbert is right out of central casting. And the reason why that matters is they have, you know, last year we had that big opening weekend game was the Pac-12 versus the SEC. It was Auburn against Washington. This year it's Auburn again, but it's against Oregon. And Oregon has a huge edge at quarterback in that game. Auburn's going to start either a true freshman or a redshirt freshman. That's who their two candidates are for that job. And so you got a guy who is going to be at minimum, a top 10 pick in the NFL draft going up against somebody who's starting their first game for the other team, like ever in the history in their college football careers. I think that especially in a first game where there's no preseason in college football, you typically see upsets in week one of college football because of two things, or one of two things. A, the underranked team has a huge experience advantage at quarterback because there's no preseason, or B, special teams blunders because, again, there's no preseason. And so if Oregon was to win that game.
Where's the game?
I think they're playing it in Dallas, I want to say. At Jerry World. And Oregon fans travel. They will be very well represented down there.
Now,
if they were to win that game, and I think they have a good shot, that would be a huge boost to them. And would give them the kind of resume that if they got out of the Pac-12 with only one loss, that I do think they would absolutely be a serious candidate to make the playoffs.
Now, in that Washington, they had Jake Locker, who I think, you know, maybe
not Jake Locker. It was Jake Locker was there a few years ago. Yeah, it's Jake. The other guy's name was Jake too.
He might be a backup in the NFL, but a very experienced.
And Auburn had Jarrett Stidham, who was drafted by the Patriots.
But with an experienced quarterback like that, Washington, wasn't it like 17-16 or something
like
that?
It was like a 2 or 3 point game. Yeah.
But it was low scoring too, wasn't it?
It was ugly. So yeah.
I think they need to come down and prove that they can muscle. I mean, a quarterback like that, it's one thing going against Pac-10 defenses. You go down to Auburn. Play Auburn.
Well, I agree. Auburn probably has the best defensive front returning in college football this year. Oregon has the best offensive line returning in the Pac-12. Okay. And so they don't have to win that match. Can they get enough stalemates? I think it'll be a game similar to what we saw last year with Washington and Auburn, like you just said. So I think 24 points would win that game. Who is more likely going to put 24 points up on the board? A senior quarterback who is going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft and would have been had he come out this year, all right, maybe a top 5 pick, or a guy who's never started a college football game in his entire life. I'm going to probably bet on the guy who's, you know, a 4-year starter and on his way to the NFL, you know? So I think it's a safe bet, all right? But I don't think it's an easy buy. Go ahead, Aaron.
Next one is Caleb Fields. A lot of submissions like this week. This is the first of which. Despite being almost entirely apolitical, Chick-fil-A will lose their social media account within the next 5 years merely due to the mob. Easy buy.
Bye.
I'm going to sell. And the reason why I'm going to sell is because I think it's far more likely that we're going to see these things become social or public utilities in 5 years. And what you'll see is even with companies like Chick-fil-A, is they will make their Faustian bargain, which is in response to what happened 7 years ago, Chick-fil-A stopped funding marriage initiatives and stuff politically around the country to get out of that business. Okay. So I think what you'll see is once they become public utilities, and I think we're heading there in the next 5 years, regardless of who wins the next election, that's where we're going. Once they become public utilities, the toll you'll pay in exchange, not just you'll give them your data, but you'll agree that you won't put anything on your social media account that you couldn't say in a public school classroom. That'll be the agreement. And I think you'll see every corporation line up for it, except for a scant few. So I'm selling.
All right. Next one is Konstantinos Rodaitis. Elizabeth Warren's proposed 2% wealth tax is unconstitutional because the 16th Amendment, skip to the end, D.C. cares. No one in D.C. cares about legality. Bye.
Yeah. What was the end? Is that your end or his end?
That's his end. Side note, no one in D.C. cares about the legality. The rest of it really doesn't matter. The rest of his.
Yeah. I mean, that's a self-refuting suggestion. I mean, because of what you said at the end, then
yeah, that's his point.
Then nothing really matters at the beginning, right? So, mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. Moving on. Blake Johnson says by 2024, you will not be able to find a conservative media outlet on any major social media platform.
Sell. There, you will see plenty of them. They will make the Faustian bargain. Several of them will be content just debating. You know,
have you seen the number of conservatives who on Twitter this week or this month, act like traditional marriage. You know, we probably shouldn't talk about it this month.
Sure. I mean, listen, the same movement that we were just joking a few months ago that we're going to have a conservative trans activist speak at CPAC before I do, right? Weren't we just joking about that a few months ago?
Yeah.
So there will be, now, they may not actually be conservatives, but there will be plenty of people claiming to be conservative who will be all over those platforms once the public utility new rules come into play, and they'll be perfectly content with them because they're not really interested in those existential issues anyway. You know, it'll be Koch brothers style of conservatism, but yeah, they'll still be there. You bet. We'll come back with more of your propositions for us to either buy, sell, or hold next right here on The Blaze. So you can't go to the store and buy, a stoplight at your kitchen table that tells you when it's time to stop eating. Good news is you shouldn't need one. because your creator put one in your body. It's called OEA. Well, it's actually called something else. That's just the abbreviation. It's a much longer word than that. But the way this OEA works is it sends a signal from the gut to the brain when you're done eating, when you're full, hey, we can move on and get back to being active and have that metabolism work the way that it's supposed to. The problem is, for too many of us, particularly as we get older, that signal's just not as strong as it needs to be. And it could be what is the missing link in your battle with the bulge, why your metabolism isn't working the way that it used to. And that's where Riduzone comes in. All Riduzone wants to do is just put that OEA back in your body the way it's supposed to work. Not a whole bunch of chemicals here. In fact, this is the overwhelming main ingredient out of only three. And like one of the other ones is rice. All right. So, I mean, this is not a stimulant, not caffeine. It's really just this signal and putting it back in the gut so the brain hears it and listens to it. All right. You want to give it a shot? Use my name, Steve, as a promo code, and you'll get a special offer when you do. Go to the website, riduzone.com, R-I-D-U-Z-O-N-E. So that's how you spell it, riduzone.com, promo code Steve. Let's get back to buy, sell, or hold. Aaron.
All right, let's take this one fairly quickly. I may do this from time to time as we approach the college football season. If you just throw out your team with an over-under, I will posit it just to Steve, just so he can, okay, North Dogwood Tech, over-under 8 games, and he's going to like list the starting left tackle, just for that matter. Christian, our call screener, who we do not allow to talk, he graduated from TCU. He's putting their win total at 8 wins. 8-4, you buying or selling that, Steve?
I think there's a much better chance they go 7-5 than 9-3.
Okay.
They have a young quarterback there, Justin Rogers, they're very excited about, one of the more highly recruited players that Gary Patterson has landed out of the Texas high school ranks in recent years. May take a year for him to groom. They lost several of their key players in their defensive front seven, although under Patterson, they're always good defensively. Even in years like last year when they're not that good, they're still good defensively. But those were a couple of difference makers. I don't know that they have anything there to take their place. They got a tough non-conference schedule when you're throwing in a road trip against Purdue. Who's a program that's really on the come in the Big Ten with Jeff Brohm. So you throw in a tough non-conference road game at Purdue and then the nine game Big 12 schedule. I think, 8-4, I think is probably what I'm going to peg them for.
So you're buying that then.
So I would, if you force me to take the over or the under, I would have to take the under because I think there's a better chance they get to only seven wins than they get all the way up to 9.
All righty. Chuck Gregory says the United States women's soccer team advances to the World Cup final in France. President Trump decides to attend in person. Most members of the squad hate him. The U.S. women lose in the final and have a scapegoat because of his presence there. I'm going to sell on all of those accounts.
Sell. He's not going to watch that game in Paris.
Yeah, I would sell. He won't.
That'd be more embarrassing than slurping Kim Jong-un.
Yeah,
on some level.
Yes, that's a risk you simply cannot take. And I do think, based on their behavior yesterday, I don't care about the score. If you don't like people scoring on you, stop them. I've always been huge. I remember growing up. Well, I was on teams sometimes that weren't good, and on sometimes on teams where we put it on other teams. And when I was on teams that weren't good, I would be more humiliated if you stopped trying against me, right? I mean, I understand why you might take your top two or three best players out and put the other bench players in, but this is the women's national team. It's not like the bench players are scrubs, right? So, it's the old Jimmy Johnson line. If you don't like me scoring on you, tackle me. That's your job. It's the histrionics and the antics that went along with it, where it was clear that they were. And not to mention also, for those of you that don't know, scoring differential is one of the major tie-breaking components in soccer in general, right? Particularly in international competition.
Yeah, it's a tiebreaker.
Yeah, so it does matter. Now, I don't know that you needed to get to 13, but again, those gals that don't play a lot, they practice just as hard. They work just as hard. You tell them to go in there and not try to have a moment they may not. They play Cambodia next, so chances are they can probably do it again, but... You don't know. You can't take for granted when you've worked your whole life to get to this point and you have a chance to score a goal at the highest stage of everything you've worked for. You can't take for granted that that's going to come around again. So I don't begrudge any of that. But the histrionics that went on, the one gal who likes to say F Trump all the time and not stand for the anthem, using, trying to make some lower body fart gestures or whatever. I don't know what some of that crap I saw in the highlights, because you know I didn't watch. I don't know what some of that crap was, but those histrionics, way over the top. And I don't think anybody should be shocked that a team that has decided that it wants to use its platform to promote all kinds of things other than what they actually do, with no restraint and no one to tell them no. Should we be shocked, Todd, that they were unable to restrain themselves or their behaviors during that exhibition yesterday?
No, not when Megan Rapinoe is your ringleader. And a lot of young girls were very, very poorly served by your example, ladies. It was pathetic.
And here's where I think that comes into the play with, who was it that asked us that question?
Chuck Gregory.
All right, so Chuck, here's where this comes into play with what you are asking. If they're willing to allow themselves to get that unrestrained and act out to that level against Thailand, given what they are using their team to be a platform for off the field, can you even imagine how that might trigger them if Trump showed up to that? Absolutely, I think that could be the difference between winning a gold medal or not. Don't you think so?
Sure.
Absolutely. There's no way they could restrain themselves. No way. And you don't want to, if you're Donald Trump, you don't want to go anywhere near that. No way.
All right, moving on. This is Paul Howard, who says, in the wake of increased censorship, Trump will tweet favorably about an up-and-coming social media platform by the end of 2019. I'm hearing a lot about this thing called Parler. You guys heard of this?
I have not, no.
I actually joined it the other day.
Did you?
Yeah. It's okay.
Okay.
A lot of people are joining it.
I'll buy that.
I think it's possible, so I'll buy it.
Yeah.
All right.
I could see if you follow Don Jr. on Twitter, and I do. He's actually a pretty good follow on Twitter. Yeah. You follow Don Jr. on Twitter, I mean, I could see him raising investment capital.
Sure.
For a competitor to these platforms, if you look at some of the stuff he says.
Steve the Mediocre says, as my Cardinals continue to fade, pending free agents Marcell Ozuna and Michael Wacha will be made available at the trade deadline by, I don't know what the deal is with the Cardinals.
I'm going to sell. They're still very much in the race. It's a division where first to last place is separated like five or six games. You don't go out and make the big move. Goldschmidt. For Goldschmidt that they made in the offseason and then turn right around. And keep in mind, this team was in this spot last year at this time, fired the manager. And then I think from the moment they fired the manager until the end of the year, they had the best record in Major League Baseball during that stretch of time, or were second to the Red Sox. So I'm going to sell. You're still very much in the thick of it. And here's the thing, particularly in the National League, where you're not facing, and the Red Sox right now may not even make the playoffs with where they're standing, but you're not facing, you know, teams with huge, you have the Dodgers, you have the Cubs, but they have some personnel weaknesses. That's why the Cubs went out and signed Kimbrel. They're trying to shore up a bullpen that's been a problem since they let Arnaldus Chapman go in free agency. You're not playing the, you know, this isn't the American League. We have three teams last year, won 100 plus games. You just have to make it. And if you make it at 88, this team right here, all right? We lost y'all in a World Series in a year where you won, 85 games and got all the way to the World Series. So if you're a Cardinals fan, you should know from your own history, all you got to do is make it, period.
Yeah, I'll sell, especially concerning Wacha. That's not how that organization rolls either. They don't do desperation. I mean, they might. Ozuna, not a homegrown talent. If there's a grown-up trade to be made, but
that trade I could see.
Yeah,
like if there's bullpen help out for that, I could see that happening. Yes, but he's describing to me the typical trade deadline fire sale.
No.
I don't think they do that. No.
All right, Joseph Kerno says the second Wonder Woman movie will do better than the first.
Did it business wise? I mean,
about $880 million global was its domestically.
How does that compare to?
That would put it among the top seven or eight MCU films.
Okay.
So beneath all of the Avengers films, for example, beneath Captain Marvel.
It did not do as well as
Captain Marvel made it. Well, I haven't adjusted that for inflation. Although, how much inflation difference would there be from 2017 till now? Captain Marvel did cross the billion mark globally.
I was gonna sell, but now I'm going to buy. I seems like it might have underperformed, and the whole Wonder Woman thing might be aging like a fine wine. Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I think I'll buy.
You'll buy that'll do better?
I'll buy that'll do better.
I'm really on the fence on this one because it was supposed to come out at Christmas. The movie's basically done. It was supposed to come out at Christmas, and then Warner Brothers decided to make it a tentpole picture in June and put it out the same weekend the first one came out. That's their explanation. Aaron, you and I were just talking about this before the show. I think the truth is that they wisely made the move of this is the MCU's year. I mean, it's their summit with the end of the saga. Just get out of the way and let them have their moment and kind of wait for Nick Saban to retire at Alabama. Alabama will still be good, but you know, there's a harmonic convergence that you just can't get in front of right now and let it run its course, right? So I think that's the real reason they put the movie off. I'm a little concerned when I see Chris Pine back that they're going to come up with some kind of cheesy way to resurrect him.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned when they say things like this is a standalone movie when your character is part of an integrated universe, right? Those are things I am concerned about. Okay? Although it's the exact same team that did the first one and they clearly showed that they know what they were doing. So I will buy, but I'm hesitant.
Alrighty. Moving on, Hate the Blah 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 says, Trump wins re-election, left blames Russia, border wall does not get built, pretty much exact same as past 4 years.
Oh my gosh.
Bye.
You know what? That is. In other words, we cannot.
We are in the horse latitudes.
Yeah. We just continue circling the drain. Remember when you said, after the election, And the Russian collusion thing was just, it was an early joke, right? Mm-hmm. We had no idea that this was going to be a 2 year story.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you said, hey, because remember how everybody kept tweeting and saying all the time, every time something went wrong, 2016, y'all, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you said, guys, 2017 is going to be even worse, remember?
Yeah.
And you were right. And then the next year was worse after that.
Yeah.
Right? This year's already worse. And when we say worse, let's have some perspective, all right?
Right?
Oh, there's plenty of good things happening in the country. What we mean is in this corner of the country, the political culture of the country just continues to devolve on a rapidly accelerating scale.
Yes.
And given that trend, wouldn't that be, think of what would be the most painful outcome? That nothing changes. Nothing. So I think I could buy that.
Yep.
I'm going to sell based on Daniel Horowitz because too many people are going to die because of this border.
The kind of the element that is coming through now.
All right, moving on. Reality Chaser says parents should force their children to watch the miniseries Chernobyl. You guys both seen this?
It's next thing on my list, man. Okay, so you know,
have you seen this, Todd?
No, I have not.
Tuesday's America's Got Talent at our house. I'm kind of really into the NBA Finals right now after some of the drama that's gone on with the Raptors getting the 3-1 lead and then Kevin Durant getting hurt. But it's my schedule is basically a barren wasteland. And so this is number one. I've been waiting for the series to end so we could just binge watch it. So I'm going to be watching it very, very soon. Given though what I've heard about it, and not of course I also don't know the subject matter. I mean, I don't know how profane it is. I don't know how much nudity and stuff is that it's an HBO series after all, you know. So if we're talking children that are old enough to sift through that material, say 14, 15, 16 years old, then sure. You know, I think we got to define what do we mean by children.
Yeah, have you seen it, Aaron?
No.
See, I don't understand why this doesn't strike me.
I don't know that any of those things are prevalent. I'm just saying I haven't seen an episode, so I don't know.
I didn't know if either of you had watched it, but I think the intent behind this positation, if that's a word, is basically this illustrates to a T, maybe, the worldview that we're up against and the effects of it. So let's camp out on the next one for a while. This might be the only list. And now, what I'm about to say means that it's probably not going to be true. This might be the only list that we can actually all agree on to a T. Micah Don Arrington says, top five food smells. Number five, sizzling ribeye. Number four, fresh brewed coffee. Number three, fresh baked cinnamon rolls. Number two, fresh baked chocolate chip cookies. And number one, sautéing, how do you spell
Vidalia.
It? Vidalia, yeah. Onions in bacon grease.
You know, that's a pretty good list.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good list. I could come up with one really good. I don't know if I could come up with one demonstrably better. Like, you know, for example, I'd probably give me a fresh loaf of bread over the cinnamon rolls, for example.
That's basically the same.
But they're basically the same, yeah. I mean, I think that's a pretty good list to at least start from.
But the sautéing onions thing in bacon grease, or even in butter, margarine, whatever your grease of choice is, man, you hit the nail on the head.
Even the coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker, as you guys know. I never have been. And they say, doesn't it say like taste is something like 75% smell or something?
Yeah, that's not true with coffee.
Yeah, I love coffee. I love the smell of coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, if our home smelled like coffee all the time, I'd be totally fine with it. I just have never been able to get into the taste of it at the same time. So in terms of smells, though, that list is pretty strong. What do you think, Todd?
I am going to have to narrowly sell it.
Yeah, bah humbug.
Of course.
Only because it weighs the sweet too heavily. I can't let the sizzling ribeye sit at five. I can't.
I'll let you get away with that. As somebody without much of a sweet tooth myself, I'll let you get away with that.
Let's take out the cinnamon rolls because we all. If you don't agree that cookies belong in that list, then you should be in a gulag, right? So we don't need to double up. We got the cookies, right?
Yeah.
So we take out the cinnamon rolls, which it's not like that's a terrible smell, by the way, but we're kind of, you know, doubling up on that.
Yeah.
So take the cinnamon rolls out and you put something a little bit more savory in there. Is that what you're thinking?
If you move the ribeye up from five to three, I concur.
Okay.
Okay.
You know what's an underrated smell?
What's that?
Is Mexican seasoned beef.
I'll take it.
Yeah, for like tacos and burritos and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That is a really underrated smell, man.
Yes.
That's... Oh, yeah. Even Ron... Now, Ron, we woke Ron up back there in Dallas. Bye.
Yeah.
He's all in my ear right now. Bye him in.
Yes, very much so.
I think we know what Ron's doing for lunch today. Yes.
Speaking of Mexico, Elliot Evans says, Steve will speak at CPAC before Mexico stops illegal immigration.
These are my southern favorites. Border.
Bye.
That is the easy. Now that's an easy buy, as you say, Aaron. That is absolutely an easy buy. Your thoughts, Todd?
Of course, buy.
I've got one more, but in the minute we have left, dudes who can shave sun tanning behind or in front of the pool when there's easily shade around is a violation of the dude code.
Yes.
Guys don't suntan. Guys get tan, but guys don't suntan.
Like, I've gone out, like, especially when it started getting warmer here, because it's been a, you know, pretty wretched spring. I just wanted to experience some sun and some warmth, you know? I've gone out and taken my college football preview and just laid down in the grass to enjoy some warmth.
Do you take your shirt off?
No.
Yeah. These guys just sit out there without their shirts on, laying in the sun.
Let me tell you right now, you need to protect yourself from people like that. That's why you need Home Title Lock. All right? Those are the kinds of people that are scamming your... They're going online right now. Those guys, okay? They are the cyber criminals scamming your home's title and mortgage. Use Home Title Lock to protect it. Right now, you get 30 days for free when you go to HomeTitleLock.com and also check out the title scan and report to see if your home's title has already been tampered with by the likes of these suntanning dudes, okay? HomeTitleLock.com. That's the website, HomeTitleLock.com. All right, we've got overtime. We're going to tape that for our Blaze TV subscribers next. For the rest of you, see you tomorrow, John 3:17.
This is Steve Dace
on the Blaze Radio Network.